I'm pretty sure Hook played a major role in my taste in men.
That tracks for you.
Which character?
Yes.
I think Robin Williams in Hook.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, if you told me Gene Hackman, that would have made that more
also,
sense.
That also him.
If you told
also
me...
Also both of them. No.
Does Godzilla have a Godzussi or just a cloaca?
I'm going to go with cloaca because technically Godzilla has a second brain in their ass.
So do I. Hi, and welcome back to This Toxic Fandom, where we ramble for approximately 87 hours with the newest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Season 16, Episode 15, Lip Sync Lollapalooza SmackDown Reunited. Slim it down to a cool 90 minutes, send it straight to your ear holes. Say hi, Toxic Fans.
Hi!
And that wasn't lip synced. Introduce yourself, Toxic Fans.
Hello, everyone. I'm your, hand puppet, professional hobbit, and podcast dad, Stephen Pope. Yeah, shut the fuck up, Joe.
I didn't
you're making
that's
a face.
What you were into.
Yeah.
Well, no, David's lip-syncing to what you talk, to what you're saying. Which proved once and for all that Mirage maybe could have won the Dark Lady lip-sync had she tried just a little harder.
I hate both of you, but we are joined by our beautiful co-host, David Gorin.
Hi, I'm Dan Gorin, and I'm motor bloated plane Jane over the weekend.
You motor bloated.
I motor bloated.
That's what happens when you eat too much salt and then go see Plain Jane.
Yeah, no, we Joe and I went to go see Plain Jane at a bar.
And it was hell.
It was literally hell on earth in that it was also super hot.
A guy decided he did not want to stop talking to us.
Yes.
Or stop talking, period.
Yes.
And just rambled.
There were so many straight people there because the straights love Plain Jane.
Gee, shocking.
I know, right? Anyways.
I'm Joe, and I had a really good week because of this episode. Anyway. So, it's important to note that there isn't a mirror message when they walk in because it's several months later and Plain Jane has a haircut. So, Q wrote on the mirror for no reason, but because we have someone here who's good at their job.
It's not me.
David, it's me. What did they write on the mirror?
Not gonna lie, this one hurts, but I love you all so much. You're gonna kill it, heart. From now on, there's only one letter in the alphabet. Q.
Why?
Kiss.
Why? I will say, Q, if this was a season with a top four and a lip sync for the crown, like, I don't think I would have been mad if Q was up there.
Wait, but can you imagine if it was a top four lip sync for the crown?
And it was Q versus Plain Jane?
Q and Plain Jane were rattling their bones as one of the two lip syncs.
Oh, sorry, God. Sorry. We just found a new form of melatonin. You just make me imagine that and I fall right to sleep.
Wait, so I have a quick funny Plain Jane story that has to go with our...
So we went to see Plain Jane at this bar. It was crowded. I couldn't see the TVs because I'm famously petite. So we
Le
went
petite Joe.
Next door to another bar where they were also playing it. Had a fantastic time watching it. And as we were in there, a bunch of people from that bar slowly filtered in. Because they were also having a terrible time at the bar that we were previously at.
Ew.
But when we separated, David went back to see Plain Jane.
Paid $10 for parking. I was getting my $10 worth. And also I was wearing the t-shirt. So I went back and Plain Jane came back on stage and was dancing. That's when she motorboated me. Or I motorboated her, I should say. And I filmed some of it. And I was picking my fiance up from the airport. And... you know, we're just like catching up, whatever. And I said, oh, I motorboated a drag queen. And he went, oh, is that stripper you went to see? And I was like, what? And he said, I just saw your video and I just saw a woman dancing like a whore and people throwing dollars at her. And I was positive that for some reason you were filming in a strip club. I
Not
swear to God.
That
based is on the how kindest thing ever said about Plain Jane.
Wait, it gets
based
better.
Based on how Scarlet Envy was dressed, I mean, not that
not
far
wrong.
Away.
Yeah. But then Austin had like put him in the library because he won the reading challenge. So I showed Austin the photo of Plain Jane's LinkedIn photo, and he looked at him and said, wow, I wonder if he was embarrassed when everyone saw him getting plowed on the Senate floor on Twitter. And I was just like, that is an amazing read.
Mama, kudos for saying all that, for spilling. And kudos to the Senate twink for not spilling any of that cum, because that dick was thick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all would have been lucky to get with that Senate twink. And he was a Democrat.
I mean, yeah, Republicans don't get laid. No, why do you think they're so miserable?
They do. They just do it in secret. They do it in shame.
That's why they're so miserable, exactly. David.
Some of them get laid. Lauren Boebert had a kid who had a kid with someone who was like 15 at the time.
That's horrifying.
Republicans get laid. That's why we know that, you know, Lady G has ladybugs.
I don't like this anymore. Anyway.
Moving on.
They all re-enter the workroom in no particular order.
Hey, sister.
Sister.
We get a very minimal amount of faffing around as we learn that this week, the returning queens are going to lip sync in the most confusing bracket since someone tried to make me do March Madness.
It reminds me of this Natasha Leggero joke where she was like, I've hosted reality competition shows and I don't understand how they work, because it's literally like, tonight the top five decide which four think which two should be in the bottom one.
Yeah, no, but this is like, so we learned that it's going to be the first, it's nine queens. Yes. So we're gonna get four lip syncs, three of two, one of three. The person who wins the three-way lip sync gets to skip the next round and go straight to the semifinals. So then we get two more lip syncs. Then we get one lip sync between one of the finalists, between two semifinalists, and whoever's not picked goes to the final round. And then we get a final lip sync. And they don't get to change their clothes the entire time.
I will say it is confusing,
yeah,
but in execution it was kind
of
perfect.
No, this is a fantastic episode. We get a little bit of faffing.
Oh, we get a taste of Cher again. Oh,
Maya's Cher returns. Yes,
Plath was like, so show funny. Them the Cher.
I'm great.
And then we get just a quick thing of everyone walking out. Nymphia, Saphira, and Plain all wear their good sitting clothes.
Oh, we also forgot that they look the great. Person who wins this is going to be the queen of She Done Already Had Hers and wins $50,000.
She Done Already Done Had Hers is.
That's what I said.
Sure.
Share.
So here's the thing. One, I think this was the soundstage they used for Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
I was going to say, I think this is probably the Secret Celebrity, but also they were like, this is the new and improved main stage. And I wonder, I have a feeling that this is actually like 3 months later and that we maybe got like an All-Stars filmed in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this is maybe going to be the All-Stars main stage.
That would make sense. It would,
that'd be cool.
It has been a very long time since we changed the layout of the main stage.
Because I'm going to guess that they initially intended to do a proper finale the way that they usually do.
Yeah.
And then I've heard rumors that the reason they didn't do a live finale is of how many leaks came out about the last finale.
Really?
In the last finale, Anitra's speech leaked immediately. There were leaks of Anitra's dancer getting hurt and all of these things that I think just like kind of slowed that momentum. And I think in general, that last finale just isn't necessarily considered to be one of the ones that is good.
No,
so
it really wasn't.
I think that this was a great choice. I think that not doing a reunion is a great choice.
Yeah. Dos cosas. Cosa number one. I heard a rumor that it's because RuPaul just didn't want to sit through another 3 hours of taping and not being able to put on sweatpants because it's live.
But what about 3 hours of farting?
I mean, that's different. She's very into that.
When I laugh, apparently that's the sound I make. So, as I've been informed.
Genius.
No, that was really funny because you just fart laughed right before doing that.
I am going to hit you with a pillow.
I thought you did it intentionally.
And the second thing is, this I know for fact because RuPaul has talked about it. Whenever they're filming, they don't necessarily film on the same soundstage every time. So it's just wherever they have studio space free. Mm. So I think Joe's theory that maybe it's the All-Star stage and they just kind of were not, they weren't doing a live finale at like the Ace Hotel. So they just were using that stage because it's just very possible that they were like, oh, we have a better sound stage.
Well, they're probably going to do
for All-Stars.
They're probably going to do something at the end of the rumor about this next All-Stars is it's not elimination.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a chance that we're going to get like a lip sync for the crown moment the way we did for All-Stars 7. It's like pretty aggressive. And so I think that it makes sense to have invested in a bigger stage. Yeah. And before you tear it down, why not bring back the returning queens to do the coolest thing you've done on Drag Race in years?
Yes.
Did they talk about when they were faffing?
Brief things. We got very brief things. We got
Amanda and Plains still hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hate
each other. Amanda's not happy that she's in the top four. Plasma makes a Bloody Mary joke. Maya claims she was at 65% and let Morphine win. They have 2 hours to get into drag, which is also why we don't have much faffing. And Megami says that she thinks that she won that lip sync.
Yes.
Which Joe has also famously said.
And I agree with
it. I think that a penguin slide is a silly thing to do in the song Flowers. It might be better in a song like... Did Happy Feet have any big numbers?
It had Robin Williams singing My Way in Spanish.
Were there songs in the Pebble and the Penguin?
No. No, famously not.
I don't even think that there was a song in March of the Penguins.
Well, they tried, but those penguins were really difficult to choreograph. So I'm going to say this. I said it earlier, and I'm just going to say it again. Well, yeah, you can get penguins to march. They love waddling. No.
Same.
This should suck. Like, yeah. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about the last time we just had every girl do a lip sync, one after the other, and they do a lottery. Like,
I don't love a Lollapalooza because I think that, in general, lip syncing on Drag Race turns into a lot of, like, careful editing in which you see more of Michelle Visage than Marina Summers.
Yes.
Like, yeah. One thing that worked really well about this episode was how little these lip syncs were edited.
It really was.
Everything. It was almost always two shots. It worked really well. And I also think that having people who win move on rather than people that lose move on just means that you don't get that weird moment near the end where, like, Bosco's starting to get too desperate during the lip sync and, like, starts just throwing her pussy everywhere.
Yeah, like, I think the fact that having the winners move forward makes it way more exciting because you start rooting for girls. You're not rooting for someone to win and leave.
Yeah, you're not like, win this so you can get out of here. You're like, oh my God, we have momentum.
Yes.
This reminded me a lot of Silky's very special episode.
Yes! Yeah. I was just about to bring that up. I love it.
But one thing I thought was even more interesting was that, like, the girls who win lip syncs do not leave the stage.
No.
They don't go back and change. They don't get to re-up their tricks.
No.
They have to stay on stage. So, like, a lot of these girls have reveals in their first lip sync, and that is the only reveal they can bring.
Exactly.
Because they couldn't sneak, they couldn't wear 87 Jiffy Pop bags and then murder a bunch of butterflies.
Aw. Oof. I mean, I think that, like, you know, there is a chance that someone could have hid something, like, in their special pocket, but that would have hurt to sit on.
Amanda just pulls a gun right out of her butt. Right out of her butt. Just pulls a gun out.
Well, she really did live in Vegas.
But do you want to... there's something that I wanted to actually bring up on the podcast just while we all have this moment.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I...
Joe, are you going to be vulnerable?
It's not something that I'm really comfortable talking about, but RuPaul has an outfit this week. and it's gold. So it's not silver, so I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
So RuPaul cannot recognize herself in the mirror.
No.
But she is in gold. She has, like, a weird boob piece.
It's like a flower boob piece.
The thing I'll say about this look is that I really like it. It just was a weird choice for an episode where she is so aggressively present and being shown a lot.
Yeah.
Because the boob piece is just very there.
I mean, I thought it was a good look. Flowers. I liked the look. I thought the legs looked amazing. I liked the hair.
No, the hair looks... Yeah. She looks very good. It's just one of those things where it's like, if I'm going to be sitting with RuPaul for this entire episode, which we rarely get, like, I expected a little more of like a classic RuPaul number.
Fair.
I mean, I was fine. You know, she wanted to be like, why don't you come up and pollinate my areola sometime?
She wanted to feel like, listen, you know, she was sick of getting Emmys. She wanted a Golden Globe.
So we have Bruno rolls out a like bingo thing. This is also Bruno's second time behind the judging panel.
Yep. Which is so, it was so cute that they just let him sit back there.
Yeah, I love whenever they do that. They probably didn't give him shoes for it, but I love that they let him sit there.
Though I will say, why is T.S. Madison and Michelle there? Like, I love that they're there, but it's not like they're giving feedback.
Well, no, they're just there to watch.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
Yeah, it's, I'm surprised that Carson and Ross also weren't there, but I'm guessing that they like couldn't be in both days, so they just like picked the day they could go to, which was the finale.
Yeah. So the queens come on stage in absolutely no particular order.
I wonder if any of them have reveals. Anyway, Maya's wearing a gown.
Yes. And then Nymph
and a coat.
Yes. And then Nymphia, Saphira, and Plain Jane all come out, and I love Nymphia's look.
Nymphia is dressed in another character from like Taiwanese dance. I think the most impressive thing is the way she managed to paint her face in this beautifully intricate, like, mask almost.
Oh, it's stunning.
While still having contouring that makes her look objectively female and objectively like Nymphia Wind, the drag queen.
It's fantastic. Do either of you know a lot about Taiwanese opera?
No.
I don't. I just saw some discourse on it where someone talked about all of the characters. The water sleeves are very emblematic of so many parts.
Oh, so it does
it.
Have characters similar to kind of like Italian opera. Having,
I think it's similar to like a Commedia dell'arte.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Where there are people who have distinct faces and distinct outfits and distinct color schemes.
Okay.
And I think she's playing like the twin of a different character, mm-hmm. of the character she played in
she
the
looks
initial
so
one.
Good. I love it.
Beautiful.
Also, one thing that Joe was saying is she did all of this and she did this in 2 hours.
I can't believe that.
She did that in the same length of time it took Lala Ree to glue bags to a dress.
Why didn't she cut the bags?
then we have Every Plane Everywhere All at Once.
So many googly eyes.
Okay, here's what's weird about this outfit. I was looking at it and I was like, oh, I love this outfit. And I was like, no, I love it from the waist up. And then I was like, wait, I do like the tights, but I don't like it all together.
I liked it when she was standing in it. I did not like it when she was sitting in it.
I thought Pearl's take on it was better.
I disagree.
I liked her glasses.
I like kind of aggressively disagree. I think Pearl's ugliest dress is not as cool as like, I like the way that she used different sizes of googly eyes to create shape.
Yes.
Which
fair.
I thought was
That's
really
fair.
Interesting. And then Saphira is just
serving cunt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That beautiful blue.
She says she's going to the Kentucky. This is the Kentucky Derby of Drag, so she's dressed the part.
Yeah.
No, she went to the Kentucky Derby of Drag.
Derb she.
Oh god.
Right?
I hate both of you right now. It is such a great look, though. That hat.
Oh
is
my god.
Ridiculous.
That hat. Fuck that. I like. She just like walked out, and I was just like, no.
I gotta
Fuck
be real.
You,
I'm
amazing.
Still, I'm still Team Nymphia, but I am not gonna be upset if it's Saphira.
No,
week.
No.
It's a good. We've had a great season, and there's no wrong answers except for that one.
Saphira is just. She's just mother. Like yeah. She is just mother.
That's why I want Nymphia to win. Is that we already had Mother win last year?
Yes.
Like mother's all the way down. I get it, but still. No. So Bruno is spinning in his little gold cage.
He's so cute.
And by that, I mean the place he keeps his balls. And by that, I mean a bingo thing and not, well, never mind.
Perverts.
and he pulls out the first golden ball and wake up, motherfuckers. It's Dawn.
Or in her words, fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. Dawn is like, thank God I got picked first. I don't want to be here anymore.
Oh, yep. She is
so she's like, I'm going to pick my sister a mandatory meeting.
Which is funny because she kept going, you might hate me for this. You might hate me for this. And then Amanda was like, I'm surprised she picked me.
Well, then she took to Twitter and she was like, yeah, I picked Amanda because I knew I wasn't going to win this. I had some things going on in my personal life where I didn't want to be there. And I was in a bad headspace and I just wanted to go back, drink a cocktail and sit with my friends on the couch. So
Fair
I picked
enough.
My best friend so that she would get 2 lip syncs because I was worried that she would get thrown in with someone who was going to beat her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very sweet, actually.
So anyways, we have, as I like to call it, Dawn versus Amanda or Goth Tawny Katane versus Grimace in Vegas.
Okay. All right. Amanda that shade of purple isn't bad. It's just a little bit weird looking on camera, I feel like. Also, why the fuck do they still do the talking heads and it's just making fun of Amanda? I thought she looked a lot better.
No, it's weird. So these lip syncs have very little cutaways, but during the lip sync, which is Damaged by Danity Kane.
Good call.
We get cutaways and they're like, oh, Dawn is doing like woman. She's giving some realness. And then Amanda is really serving. And they're like, still, Q has to be like, but her pads still look lumpy. I'm like, but they don't on camera, so stop it.
Yeah.
But
shut up. And then don't include that. Jane has to be like,
I don't like looking at Amanda.
Amanda's doing great, but I don't like looking at Amanda. And I'm like, fuck you, Plain.
Get out of here.
But it's a great lip sync. Amanda's really showing what she can do and showing off and having like a great time. Dawn is holding her own better than she did in the body lip sync. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem quite as defeated.
No.
At the end, the screen cuts to black. Nymphia goes, do we not get to see who wins? Saphira quotes me when she says, have you seen the show, Tamar? And then Plain starts getting ready to hug who she assumes is going to be Dawn walking in. And Nymphia turns to her and goes, if it's Amanda, are you still going to hug her? And she starts hitting Nymphia. She's like, no.
Wait, weird question. Did either of you guys notice the like guy that they kept cutting to in the audience in green, who's like clearly there with his girlfriend and he winks at Amanda?
I mean, Amanda is a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman with bad makeup.
I know, but I just love the fact that, like...
She's a more beautiful woman now.
She really is.
Without all that makeup on.
Yeah, I just love that they, like, cut to this guy who's, like... he looks straight. Maybe he's not, but he looks straight. And he just, like, looks at Amanda and just winks at her. I loved it.
Oh, this is also, like, a really fun fact that I realized. Amanda is the only queen to beat a New York girl in a lip sync this season who's not from Miami.
Damn.
Huh.
Yeah.
So is New York and Miami, are you two going to have like a West Side Story thing going on right now? Again? Because West Side Story is about that.
Okay. West Side Story has nothing to do with Miami.
Nothing.
No. Miami can kick rocks as far as West Side Story is concerned, as far as I'm concerned. Bruno gets out from behind the judging panel. He spins that cage and he pulls out
Q. Another gold ball.
Round Q.
Fight.
So Q chooses
Megami.
Do we think this is strategy?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Here's the question. Do we think it's because she's like, Megami's the only girl I can meet in a lip sync, or does she think that Megami's gonna go for a specific song?
No, it is absolutely I can beat her.
Yeah.
But do we think there's a song that she was hoping Megami would pick? Because I think I know what is happening.
Okay, what do you think?
I think that Q and Plasma both wanted to pick the Cher song.
Okay.
And so I think that she picked Megami being like, if it comes down to a share off, that's probably the only thing that gets me to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm probably not, maybe she picks like, we got the beat and then it's just bad dancing on both sides. And like, I can try to
rattle my bones
out of it. And instead, Megami picks What About by Janet Jackson.
And then we have, as I like to call it, Anne of Cleves versus Black Canary.
That's a good one.
How dare you? Anna Cleves is pretty.
No, only in her portrait.
Oh, boy. So, here's my notes. Megami just gives this, like, sex.
Megami.
No, she is serving face to an extent I wasn't expecting. And I gotta be real. I never knew she could do sexy. She is so fucking sexy in this song.
No, she has a lot of sex appeal, but she's also like just dancing. She's moving. Yeah. It's one of those things. Megami has a really good first lip sync, and it doesn't rely on camp. It doesn't rely on shtick. Mm-mm. She's just doing this song exceptionally well.
Yes. Yeah.
Because there's a weird level of like, sometimes we forget the best part of lip syncing a lot of the time. A tight lip sync is better than a million stunts.
Agreed.
And this is a very tight lip sync. Megami is really serving song.
Yes.
And, you know, Q put her right foot in. She put her right foot out.
Shook it all about.
She shook her bones. you know, Q is... I feel like a lot of these queens especially the queens who were maybe aware that they were not going to win, had a lot less pressure on them, and thus there wasn't a lot of desperation in how anyone moved.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, everyone felt so calm because, like, what's the worst that could happen? You get to just have fun on stage and then go have a drink in Untucked.
Yeah, like, yeah. You don't, like, you've already lost. You don't lose anything else.
So,
except for $50,000.
But
I wasn't yours.
But you're assuming that's going to Morphine or Maya. Like, you're assuming Morphine, Maya, Mirage are taking that, so you're not worried about it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I weirdly think there's a high likelihood that, like, everyone's so calm. Q still feels desperate in this lip sync.
Yes.
And I think that's just kind of how she lip syncs.
Yeah.
I think that she gets a little scared performing on stage in front of, like, RuPaul. And she's really just going for it.
Oh, it's so weird because she's a great performer, I feel like. She's just in front of RuPaul. It gets weird. I will say, though.
Out of curiosity, at what point was she a good performer?
I've watched her online.
Oh, okay.
Well, I found I will take the time to go through YouTube and find performances these girls have done at, like, you know, the bar in Highland or somewhere else, like some shithole in New York. And I love to watch that. And
what'd you call me?
No, you're the hole in New York.
Thank you. I take Pure Vermont. It's very clean down there.
Not sponsored yet.
You could eat off that shit.
You should.
Oh, my. But no, I like to see the girls perform away from the Drag Race stage to really get a feel of them. And Q is a good performer, but you're not wrong. The desperation is clearly there. So when Megami wins, I expected her to have, like, a freak out.
No, she just kind of shrugs.
Yeah.
She's like, I wasn't going to win this.
She's in good spirits.
Which I think is good. I think that Q at least has accepted that she went home at this point, which is nice.
I agree. I think that she kind of wanted to win something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, honey, you already won a couple of challenges. Some you didn't even deserve to win.
Yeah. Oh, she's like, nice. I got 20 grand. I'm doing fine. Or 10 grand. It's 5 grand in regular seasons. I will also say, as someone, when you're talking about seeing queens perform outside of the show, this is the version of Megami that I know from New York.
Okay.
Where she does, like, higher energy numbers. She dances, but not in a... She dances in a I'm good at dancing way, but not in a I'm the greatest dancer of all time way.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tends to do a lot of, like, comedy mixes, which she's not able to do in this, but maybe we'll get to
see. That's the thing. That's what I saw of Megami. I saw most of the comedy mixes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've kind of come to expect. I didn't know she could do sexy, and she does it exceptionally well.
Sorry.
So round three rolls around.
Yes.
And we get Morphine, and she chooses Geneva Carr, and I love that because they're both great.
I think she was like, so I think that in general, Morphine, Maya, and Mirage were the three girls that you knew were at least making it to round two. And so I think Morphine looked at the girls who were left and said, which of these girls am I going to give the best show with? But I'm obviously winning this lip sync.
Yes.
And Geneva's a great dancer.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, she won two lip syncs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
But they're doing Million Dollar Baby by Ava Max.
A song that we've all heard and no one remembers who Ava Max is.
I got to be honest. Like, half of these songs are for the old gays like me where I'm like, oh, I know that number. And half of them are songs I do not know.
Yeah.
I do not know.
Wait, you didn't know Milkshake?
Well, I knew Milkshake, but that's the point.
So it's Morphine versus Geneva Carr, or with that hair and those matching coats, I like to call it dueling Alyssa Edwards.
Tongue pop.
I'm happy you liked that.
Yeah, David, I laugh at your jokes now.
I know.
Congratulations, you got funny.
Oh, these aren't the jokes you used to, Joe.
Yeah, I said you're funny, okay? Okay? Can we move on?
Plasma's not up yet.
So, Morphine, the thing that is so, like, the thing that's so shocking about Morphine is that this was her sixth lip sync.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still doing new stuff.
She's still really good.
Like, she does that nail check while doing, like, the classic, like, fan, like, I'm doing the hardest move, I'm doing a move that's easy, but I'm doing it so hard. With so much rigor that everyone thinks it's hard move that I'm not able to do, so maybe it is hard. But she's just doing it while, like, checking her nails and yawning. She, after, like, a minute and a half of song, casually kicks off the blonde wig she's wearing to reveal this gorgeous red wig.
Yes.
So good.
She looks so stunning. Geneva does her split. She maybe hurts herself when she does that dip.
They both take off their coats and they reveal in fringe numbers. Geneva's is kind of like a saloon girl meets Lady Marmalade, and Morphine shows us that the nipples are indeed the eyes of the face.
Do you think that either outfit is infringing on the other?
I mean, one is more nude illusion, so...
I thought Morphine looked so
Morphine
sexy.
Morphine looked so
yeah,
good.
Looks so amazing.
Like, it's one of those things where Morphine just had such a... has had such a great trajectory through this season,
mm-hmm.
that giving her an episode like this was such a beautiful gift.
Agreed.
It was. And I also have to say, Morphine, for a moment... Morphine has a lot of great moments this episode.
Yeah.
But I had a moment of, like, this is Lagangian physical level. Like caliber.
She's, oh, yeah. She's just... Morphine has a musicality to her, mm-hmm. that is so special and so... It's not just that she's a great dancer or that she has a million stunts. It's that she just has so much rhythm, mm-hmm. and she's always doing things on the exact right moment of the song.
I was about to say, her attention to timing and beat is phenomenal.
Yes. It really is.
Like, it's really solid.
I loved it.
And then, speaking of people who have phenomenal attention to timing and beat, up next... we have Mirage is chosen, and her initial choice was to pick Plasma, but she knew that she would pick a stupid-ass song, so I think she would have picked the Cher song, and Mirage was not going to lip-sync to Cher again. And so Mirage chooses Hershey Le Coeur Jeté.
Who I'm so happy to see on screen again.
Agreed.
I love Hershey.
People were mean to Hershey for the lip sync. I was like, it was good. It was funny.
I thought she did very well.
We didn't see a lot of Hershey in this lip sync. I think because Mirage was just so miraculous that they wanted to show it.
It was a miraculous Mirage?
Yes. But we do get a lovely Tina Belcher moment. She chooses Alone 2.0 by Kim Petras and Nicki Minaj, hoping that maybe Mirage won't know the Nicki part.
And also, you guys like to call it Mirage versus Hershey. I like to call it Xenon Girl of the 21st Century versus Cher.
Oh my god, you fucking nerd. I love that. I love you. This is terrible.
Protozoa, play Fernando. Zetas Lapidus.
Oh, I love it. That's so awful. I hate it.
But this is a phenomenal lip sync.
It's a great one. I gotta be real, I thought Hershey had it.
No, yes. Did you see how Mirage did that split?
I mean, it was phenomenal. Yes, it was beautiful, but I thought Hershey just really...
Hershey was so in the pocket.
Yes.
Yes, that was the thing. It was just like, Hershey knew every fucking line, and she delivered a comedy performance that, frankly, would have saved her.
Exactly.
I think if she'd been able to have a performance this good against Geneva. Geneva, like, the issue with the Geneva performance is that her best beats in that, because I recently rewatched it, were all copied immediately by Geneva and turned into group numbers, mm-hmm. rather than being solo moments. And, like, that's really how Geneva kind of... She took all the funny things that Hershey was bringing and went, I'm dancing better than you, and I can do this.
Yeah.
But, like...
I'm a girl who can do both.
But we get so many amazing... We get... Mirage's dip is so incredible. Her split is amazing. She has this cool back bend that Hershey just walks in front of. And they're like
hilarious.
Hershey tweeted that they didn't even show all of Mirage's tricks, and she was like, of course I walked in front of her. I was tired.
And also someone else goes, the way that she's performing, I'd walk in front of her too.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where you go, it was so nice to get a moment for Mirage to really show what she can do. And then, obviously, Mirage wins, Hershey is sent to the back, and we get a three-way lip sync between Maya, Plasma, and Tsunami dressed as insanely as possible.
What the fuck is Tsunami wearing?
Tsunami was like, I could have chosen to be thin or move, and I chose skinny.
Well,
which is the most relatable thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's funny that you say, what the fuck was she wearing? Because y'all saw Maya versus Plasma versus Tsunami. I saw Pearl versus a Cream Saver versus Raggedy Ann. Pope, it was good. It wasn't that good.
That just killed me. That killed me. I'm
Which
sorry.
Part?
I don't know.
Part of Raggedy Ann.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I just came back.
And
Fuck
so
you.
Bruno pulls the ball for which queen will pick the song, and we get Maya choosing Milkshake by Khalees.
Yes. Oh, my other version of this was Stephanie's Child dukes it out. Oh, that's funny.
There are not that many queens of color in Stephanie's Child.
Woof. So, yeah, this was a bloodbath.
I mean, it's one of those things. Plasma and Maya are trying so fucking hard.
So hard.
Plasma is throwing everything she has at the wall. She has some little eight counts beaded out. She flips off this beautiful wig to reveal a much uglier wig.
She looks like Barbara Bush.
Maya gets the fuck out of that gown so she can start doing some flipping. The moment for me that sealed it for Maya was when she went to the back and, like, kind of the way she, like, grabbed the stage and then handstanded on it felt so visceral to me.
Oh, God.
That I, like, when we were in the bar, I was like, oh! I, like, was gasping. It was so amazing. But also, when Plasma does a move and then Maya kind of tumbles over her and somebody caught in the background, Tsunami just stopped lip syncing and, like, laughs at that moment.
I mean, Tsunami is so, like,
Tsunami knows she isn't gonna win.
I'm just here to be cute. You two are having a good time.
Yeah, I love Tsunami seems like just the chillest, coolest person.
She really does. Like, she really
love her so much. But, like, I also think that what I will say is I think that Plasma maybe did a little too much for a song like Milkshake.
Yeah, I disagree.
Like, I think that Milkshake is weirdly one of those songs that's hard to... Like, I think that she was, like, going... The intensity she had for Milkshake was kind of... Like, it wasn't that she was dancing too hard. It's that, like, her face was very...
I'll say this. I think that it's... I mean, I probably sound like every other, you know, cis white gay on the internet that I think Plasma won this.
I think that it was really close, and I didn't mind Plasma losing, but I get it.
I mean, I think that I honestly feel like Plasma... I feel like every girl walked into this going, we know who they want to see at the end, and it is going to be Maya versus Morphine rematch, because that was the lip sync of the season.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Lip sync of the last few seasons.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, Megami... Thank God threw a wrench in that because it made it way more interesting. And also, I think that someone like Plasma was basically just going like, I am going to give them a reason to not be able to say that I did poorly. And if anyone thinks that I did poorly, there's if I don't win, then no one can say that I did poorly.
I think Plasma was like, I just need to raise my booking rate a little bit.
Correct.
So
for sure.
What I will say is that I think... So this is some season 11 lore that we've never gotten confirmed or denied.
Ooh, this is going to be fun.
Lore.
But.
Season 17.
There was a time in season 11 where famously two queens may or may not have lip synced to Sorry and also I Am Not Sorry. And it might have been an iconic fashion moment. And so Evie and Brooke were doing a lip sync for the crown that year. And allegedly. They told the queens they were not allowed. They told Akiria and Silky that they were not allowed to pick each other.
Oh.
And that.
Oh, I've heard this.
There was no way. If you picked the other person, you were guaranteed to lose the thing. You had to beat either Brooke or Evie in the lip sync because otherwise they would undeniably be the top two of the season. And they wanted the final lip sync to be a rematch. And a Sorry Not Sorry moment. And that's kind of what we got. And it wound up being really disappointing because, like, it just felt like we were wasting a lot of time to get to a single lip sync that was then also not as good a song choice as Sorry Not Sorry.
Yeah.
And I similarly think that Everybody Dance Now would not have been as good a song choice as the song was that they did that I don't remember the name of anymore.
They did Edge of Glory.
No. Maya and Morphine.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Brooklyn and Evie.
Yeah.
No, I already said it.
Sorry, so, I was thinking about that lip sync and just how, like...
It's so good.
It's
really good, but, like, the song choice is just not Sorry, Not Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, like, the other thing is that I feel like... Not to say when you get to the crown, it's not the same, but I definitely think that when you're lip syncing for your life versus when you're lip syncing for the crown, you're a little bit more... desperate when you're lip syncing for your life.
I agree. Yeah. I also will say, I think that there is absolutely something to the fact that I think there was room, the way that this bracket was bracketed.
Brackety brack.
there was room for one person to be top three. And they thought it was going to be either, they thought it was going to be Mirage.
Yes.
Or they thought it was going to be, like, Amanda.
Yes.
And they were wrong.
But they thought that, like, one of those two was going to be top three, probably get taken out in that final moment because they knew Morphine and Maya were always going to not pick each other till the end.
Exactly. Yeah.
They wanted Miami supremacy. And so I think that when Megami and Amanda had already moved forward, Plasma was not allowed to also move forward. They didn't want three girls who they didn't think could reasonably win to make it that far, because Maya is arguably the other person, is one of the people who could actually win this thing.
Agreed. Yeah.
So they don't want to, like, discount her.
Exactly.
I will say, I was just saying, even though Maya to me won this, like, Tsunami's not a factor. She didn't want to be there. She's just having a good time. She's happy to be invited. Plasma did a hell of a job.
I will say this.
I think Tsunami is a factor. She specifically has it factor. She was dressed like a spooky clown.
No, she has X factor because her name is Tsunami. Sorry, bad joke. Anyways, two things that I will say. Thing number one, that's why I think that Plasma fought as hard as she did is because she said, I'm not going to win this. It has to be Maya.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I will say, which I think is also part of why... So I rewatched this lip sync a few times, and the reason why is because the first two times I watched it, I thought something and I wanted to make sure that I was either correct or wrong. And it was basically that Maya just stunts to stunt. And to an extent that is true, and to an extent that is not true. And the other thing is, just for shits and giggles, because Austin was brushing his teeth, and I was watching it again, and I said, Austin, can you just come here and watch this lip sync? And I want you to tell me who won. And he said, trick question. Because he's like, the one in the red wig, we're not talking about her because she's not a factor. However, and he was talking about, he was like, the one in red, Maya, she clearly killed it. However, if that's her shtick, and for someone who hasn't really seen that much Drag Race to go, that's clearly her shtick. If I've seen it a few times, I'm bored. She did not win. The one who looks like Lady Gaga, Plasma, won it for me because she was clearly doing something different.
I mean, the fact of the matter is Maya wins.
I mean, but I will also say, and I think there's something very interesting to this, you cannot discount the idea that there is a room full of people watching this lip sync, actually in the room.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who has never seen Maya do this.
Touché.
And the energy that you're going to get from that fucking crowd is definitely swaying RuPaul's mind in some
Fair.
Ways.
Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Fair. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think it's a great lip sync in general. I think Plasma showed what she can do, which is, I think, what she needed to do.
Agreed.
She did terribly in the Bloody Mary lip sync.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was so happy to see her fight, do well. Unfortunately, only one person can win in a three-way. It's always me. And so Plasma and Tsunami are sent back, and we now, and Maya gets to move directly into the semifinals.
Yes. Which I don't hate.
Yes.
I don't hate, but it keeps shit moving, but I'm also like, oh, come on, that's a little cheap.
I mean, it's weird. It's weird because the way that the bracket also worked, it kind of seemed like you were supposed to, that like, so the way the bracket looks, the person in the first round of the next lip sync is supposed to go straight to the finale, but then they make it draw and just one person gets to move forward. Wait, anyway.
Joe, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't think Plasma won because she pretended to do poppers.
We're not sponsored yet. So, round six comes
she
around.
Feels the rush, addicted to your rush.
We aren't sponsored. Stop selling them.
So I would never sell rush, unless they sponsor me. So Amanda gets chosen, and she looks at everyone around her, gets terrified, and picks Megami.
Or as I like to call it, Vegas Grimace versus Black Canary.
And Megami decides to pick the Shoop Shoop song
by Cher.
It's In His Kiss by Cher. And Amanda's like, I love Cher. I'll do a mandatory meeting with a touch of Cher. And Megami's like,
oh no, bitch.
I'm about to be so fucking funny with this.
This was one of the funniest lip syncs we have seen on Drag Race.
Yeah.
in a dog's egg.
She does a share mouth. She does a pussy eating joke.
Yeah, she spits on a dick.
She spits. So she starts making out with her hand. Mm-hmm. She's making out with it during because it's in his kiss. Then she pulls up, spits in the hand's mouth, and gets right back into making out with it.
Because like, while I was going to say Mirage. While Amanda is doing a whole like floor number while the instrumental is happening, Megami's like, I'm not going to do a floor number. I'm going to make you all laugh so fucking hard. It doesn't matter if she is breaking her pussy over there. You're not even going to look at her.
You're not going to find that kitty. You're going to be too into what I'm doing.
And precisely.
It's genius. It's one of those.
So good.
And the thing is that this is, Megami brought elevated club drag.
Yes.
To the Drag Race main stage in a way that we have not seen someone confidently do in years.
Confidently being the key word
like,
there.
It's one of those things, it's very silky. It's very silky, it's a very special episode where Silky's pulling out things, where Silky pulls out the Crown Royale from her tits.
Yeah.
Where it's just
she
like,
mixes a cocktail from her tits.
Where it's like, this is something that you would see in a gay bar. And you would absolutely gag your fucking brain out.
Mm-hmm.
But it just never happens on Drag Race because lip syncing on Drag Race is so self-serious so much of the time.
Yep.
And I feel like in general, we don't tend to get these really funny lip syncs in Lip Sync for Your Life because people are too like terrified of fucking up and making the wrong choice. Mm-hmm. Whereas in things like this where you're lip syncing to win something, we get these a lot more. It's similar to like Ben de la Creme making a joke of Anaconda,
yeah.
Whereas she was never able to do that when lip syncing in her own season.
No,
but no, Megami is so funny.
She's so good.
She's so magnetic. She knows exactly how much share mouth to give.
Yes.
And she's just taking center stage while Amanda dances as hard as she can around her. Though this is also the moment where you start going, Amanda is really talented.
Yeah.
She has a little bit of a limited moveset.
Kinda. Yeah. Amanda needs a little bit more time in the cooker.
Yeah.
And, like, she's a great queen. She's – Amanda's so special and deserved better on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And it's upsetting that her entire narrative had to be that she needed to grow in drag because she's such a skilled performer.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wait to see her on All Stars. Unfortunately, though, this is not her time. Megami wins this lip sync.
Rightfully so.
Yes, agreed.
Correct. And then we get Mirage v. Morphine. And Morphine gets to choose the song, and she picks
This Time I Know It's For Real by Donna Summer.
And
oh, I was going to say, you don't want me to tell you who this lip sync is?
Oh, I was going to, before we get there, I was going to say, one, when Megami's performing, Dawn says my favorite quote, which is Megami's playing chess and I'm playing jump rope.
Yes.
And then this one, so I think that there is a weird level of Megami really skillfully picked all of her songs, but also the way that Morphine picked this song, which was, Mirage kind of calls it out. She's like, you know she doesn't want to go up against me in a dance number, and you know that Maya doesn't want to do the Go-Go song.
Yeah.
And so in picking this song, she actually sets the stage for Megami to excel in the next lip sync by picking a song that is intentionally kneecapping Maya.
Yeah. No, it was really fucking smart.
Yeah.
And then Morphine does a really good job.
Yeah. Yep. Mirage and Morphine do a fantastic job.
They're both
great. Or as I like to call it, sexy Simone Biles versus Christina Aguilera circa her second Spanish language album.
What a gay.
Because they both had reveals and they revealed into new outfits. So they get new names.
They didn't have, did they have reveals?
Yeah.
Morphine had a little one.
Morphine revealed into the
bodysuit.
The bodysuit. Because if you remember the first time, it was dueling Alyssa Edwards.
Yeah.
So now it's.
Oh, because they revealed during their look.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then and Mirage took off the Xenon dress and was in sexy Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay. Now I remember. But so the one thing I will say is that I think that Mirage should. I think Mirage was like, this is not a stunting song, and then realized a little late that, oh, this is a stunting song.
Yeah.
Like, she just took a little too long to get going.
Yeah.
So Morphine had already, Mirage is probably, Mirage, let me put it into a different type of sports term, of like, Mirage is maybe a better sprinter than Morphine, but Morphine was already so far ahead by the time Mirage had started that, like, all Mirage has time to do by the time she realizes that, oh, Morphine's outstunting me, is spin into a dip. And her spin dip is incredible. It has artichokes in it.
Also, that double backbend.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
That double backbend at the beginning.
Oh, my God.
They're just so good. And this was such a fantastic lip sync. But it was also one of those moments where I kind of looked at this and I was like, oh, I think this lip sync is the lip sync for the win.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I agree with that. But do you know what I think should have happened?
What?
Double Shantae.
No.
No.
I think so. I think double Shantae, add a song.
If we could get 10 lip syncs, maybe. One thing I will say is I think this episode could have been 2 hours.
It could have, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I think it wasn't because it wouldn't fit into circulation well, but like, or syndication well, but like,
there's
it was
so,
so wild to get so little of the girls backstage. Like, we actually, for a reunion episode, we saw so little of the girls we had seen.
And also, they've talked about on lives how shady they were to each other.
Yeah.
So the fact that we didn't even get that was surprising. But this episode just went down so easy.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect episode. And I think 30 more minutes could have padded it too long.
But why didn't they do an Untucked where they just showed the girls talking?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Like, remember the Untucked for Sookie's very special episode where she just talks to all the girls she beats, and then when Akira doesn't show up, she just talks to herself?
Yes.
Didn't
she have, like, the two?
Yeah, she talks to herself as Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. This just, like I said, the Lollapaloozas I usually kind of hate.
Yeah.
Because they are usually very, like, the winner gets to leave and you're stuck with the losers, and the losers are getting more and more tired and desperate and sad. This was just like, I want to win. I am not going to win the big crown, but I can win Miss She'd Already Done Had Herses.
Yes.
It's kind of like if the Fame Games worked.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's one of those things where, because as they're getting closer, they can feel it.
Yeah.
This lip sync is like more, you can tell that Morphine is like feeling it.
Yeah.
Like, so the lip sync ends. And
well, it's funny because she keeps saying she uses video game.
Yeah, she's like, I'm
30% health.
She's like, this is the mini boss. I'm at 70% health. I got this. And then she's like,
if she ever said that, I would believe that she was superhuman and just like did not have to breathe, because I did not get a second of her ever seeming tired.
And she, yeah, it's one of those things where it makes you really confident that Morphine, if you saw a solo show of Morphine, she would dance for an hour and you would never be bored.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, it's so impressive.
I know.
So next up, we have all three of them are back on stage, Megami, Maya, and Morphine. The song choice is going to be We Got the Beat, but who's going to do it? Bruno rolls around his little tumbler, pulls out a ball, and Magag me, who are you picking?
Maya.
But also,
oh my gosh,
RuPaul nicknaming Megami Magagmi.
Yeah.
Is such a moment where you realize, I genuinely think that if Megami had had a very funny talent show in a better first outfit, RuPaul would have picked her out as somebody he finds really funny and charming.
Yeah.
And Megami likely could have made maybe even top three of this season.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like this got her an invite to All Stars.
Yeah. This got her an invite to be a lip sync assassin. This got her an invite to All Stars where they're going to take her seriously.
Yeah.
I'll say this also. I was going to wait for it to the end, but I mean, since we're already here, the thing that I find amazing about this season is that not 90%, not even 99%, 100% of all of these queens are going to come back to All Stars.
Yo, okay.
I'm so excited.
This
like,
is 100%. This is season four, season five all over again. Love it.
Season seven. Like, bring back all of my girls already, Rue. Just start the season over. We haven't announced what the next season is. Just quickly get all of them into a contract and make the next season a live season where they all just compete.
I would love that.
No one goes home.
Here's what I want one day. And I know I've said it on the podcast before. I'm saying it again. I want a live season. I want them to tape it on a Monday and edit it on a Friday. And then we have live
people go home.
Yes.
That'd be nuts.
I would love it.
It would be fantastic. Oh. Speaking of fantastic, Megami picks Maya for this what? Lip sync.
Okay, okay, okay.
And I think that's this is insane. So smart. No,
it's so smart. It's so smart.
So here's the thing.
But I lost my mind. Megami, I screamed.
I think Megami understands one thing, which is making it to the end of this when you're the underdog is about narrative.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it is Silky beating Jan. They can both be fantastic, but Silky's narrative is always going to push through Jan in that moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Megami looks at it and she's like, there's a rematch here between Maya and Morphine that is the single strongest narrative in this episode.
Of the season.
There's also a rematch where I have said that I beat Maya in that lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
And now
so fucking smart.
I have nothing with Morphine. We've never interacted on screen. I know that if I said that earlier this episode and then beat her in this, there's a narrative being built that pushes me to the end. And if not, I can maybe look deluded, who knows, but I'm going to create the narrative I need, which is you thought you wanted the Morphine v. Maya rematch. Here's the Megami v. Maya rematch where I win.
It's so
fucking
good.
And I think that what's amazing about this is in a similar thing with the one that we had before, which was Mirage versus Morphine, you're getting these lip syncs for the crown where you're not bored because it doesn't feel like, okay, we get it. Let's get on to Maya versus Morphine. It's what we all came here for.
I mean,
the entire bar that we were in was
the bad bar or the good bar?
The good bar.
The good bar.
Okay. Mr. Good Bar.
Yeah, Mr. Good Bar. Mr. Gold Bar. Was screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the way that people were screaming for Megami by the end, no one was expecting.
Yes.
No.
Like, Megami started doing moderately well in the first lip sync, and I was, like, clutching David and just being like, oh, my God.
That's where you got the marks.
Yeah.
And then you could, like, feel the energy pick up as we realized, oh, she could go all the way.
She could win this.
She could win this.
And then, so the lip sync starts.
Well, one thing that I will say is that I don't know if you noticed, but in the bar, people were actually quite excited when Megami came on screen.
Yeah.
Like, it was
like her.
It was a really interesting experience because it was such a, like, because there was a drag queen that was hosting, a great queen named Mossy.
Yeah. Mossy loves books. She's great.
And I love her. But it wasn't like going to see a current Rue Girl. It's funny because I pushed to go see Plain Jane because I was like, oh, I want to see a current Rue Girl. I want to hear some tea spilled. I want to, you know, X, Y, and Z. But what was interesting about this was that you got real Drag Race. It wasn't people pandering for a queen. It wasn't a WWE show. Like, and what I mean by that is when we saw, like, Nymphia, it was like Nymphia was on screen and it was deafening. Plain Jane came on screen and everyone booed.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it was one of those things where it was almost performative at that point. And this was just so real.
I get that.
And what was even funnier was that I went to the bathroom and a guy was like, oh, you're wearing a Plain Jane shirt. And I was like, oh yeah. And also I'm wearing a Why Are You Such a Cunt bracelet. And he was like, oh my God, you are such a fan. And he said, and I was like, yeah, we were at the bar next door, but it was too insane. So we came over here. And he said, I work on the show. We come to this bar because it's not insane.
I get that. And it, I really do.
But it's also like, I had actually pushed to not go to see Plain Jane. And part of it was me going, I don't want the experience of Plain Jane stans yelling because, like, Amanda's doing well and they don't like Amanda because they like Plain. Or, like,
oh, they're bad people.
Like,
got it.
Well, like, but, like, that thing where it's, like, you have your faves and if your fave didn't like someone, you attack. But, like, attack without a K because you're a child. And you don't, and you can't spell. But, like, it's one of those things where I just, I was realizing watching it. And when we got to that bar, the way that people were just reacting to this episode, I was so happy that I had pushed for us to see it. Because we also almost left that bar because it was pretty dead when we got there and just went back to David's to watch it because better quality television.
And you can actually hear what's going on.
But within like two lip syncs, the bar had like livened up.
Yeah.
And everyone was like glued to this TV and it had such a magnetic energy.
People have been calling this the gay Super Bowl and I kind
of
get it.
It is the highest rated episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, not of this season.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Which I love. I love.
So before we get into the lip sync, David, we have
Who do we have performing?
We have Megami versus Maya.
We're still on Megami versus Maya.
Yes. Or as I like to call it, Black Canary versus Britney circa... Britney circa circus.
Circa-is.
So, Megami pulls out every jokey move I could have thought of. It is Detox doing the Cabbage Patch. It is so goddamn funny. And then she does the world's shadiest finger puppets.
No, it's so funny. So,
it's so funny.
Without even looking at Maya, she, while... as Maya gets up to jump into a split for, like, the beat of the song you would do that for, she looks at the crowd, puts her fingers on her hand, has them do a little split, and shrugs while lip-syncing.
Genius. It's so funny.
Completely invalid. It's one of those things where I always talk about the way to beat someone who's a better lip-syncer than you is to invalidate their tricks.
Yeah.
It's Jocelyn Fox splitting at the same time as LaGanja. It's any of those. It's
Monet when is like about to do the split, and then she goes, "No,
no, no." But yeah. That's also great. But it's Anitra jumping over Marsha.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like if you can create a moment that invalidates someone else's trick, you get so many points so quickly. Mm-hmm. And then she does the Cabbage Patch, while, like, shrugging, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Wait, what's the Cabbage Patch?
It's when you put your feet. You like,
or and she does like the twist. She's no, like,
I thought she did the pony.
Did she do the pony?
That was the pony.
She has a lot of.
Or is it the mashed potato?
I think she. Oh, it might have been the mashed potato.
It was the mashed potato.
She pulls out a bunch of like 50s dance moves because she's doing the Go-Go's. She feels like, and she's like making fun of herself while doing it in a way that like RuPaul fucking loves.
She's adoring this because it's so funny and. On brand for Megami, but also on brand for the song.
It's also authentic.
It's very authentic.
It's one of those things where you can, like, you can feel the entire space and all of these queens and everyone realize that Megami is a very different queen than they thought.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was going to say, like, it's one of those things where I think that, like, and I mean, I think I said this also for Milkshake, where it's like you can stunt the house down, but, like, what Megami just proves is, because I think for me, what when Megami did the hand thing, that won her the lip sync.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like, it was like, done. You won.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's one of those things where, like, I mean, Maya is great. She has no bones. She is full cartilage. But I feel like you see that at a drag show once, and you're just like, money, 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 money. You see it twice, and you're like, I get your shtick.
Well, here's what I will say. This is, remember how I said that there is a room full of people who've never seen Maya do this before?
Yes.
They were not reacting the same way the second time.
Yes. No. What were you saying, Pope?
I was just saying, like, Maya, phenomenal performer, phenomenal dancer. No one's going to discredit her on that. But you're not wrong, because we've all seen her, and so is the audience. So it's like, cool. Make me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there is kind of a level of branding to it. She is the queen of flips, yep. And she needs to show you that, like, no, that is accurate. And, like, but I think that there's a weird level of, I think that she's now done it so much that she's almost lowering her booking fee a little bit because you wonder if she can do anything other than the thing she did on Drag Race.
The other thing that I will say is, and I mean, like, her snatch game was her snatch game. I feel like the difference between Megami and Maya is Megami has an amazing sense of humor, clearly.
Yeah.
And Maya does not. And one thing that I think we've all learned is that RuPaul likes a girl who can act a fool.
Yeah.
And if you can act a fool and you're a good lip syncer and you're a pretty good dancer, like,
you're a triple threat.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know who, you know what, you know who I was actually getting really reminded of during all of Megami's performances?
What?
One of the best lip syncers of all time, my best friend Ginger Minj.
Oh.
Like, Ginger's never lost a lip sync, and it's because she's so funny and always doing it her own way.
That's true.
You know, the minute you said, like, here's what I'll say. If you can name a drag queen and you can immediately think of a lip sync of them, then clearly they're doing something right.
Wait, which one did you think of? Because I always think of two with Ginger. Oh. Like, I feel like she has two really iconic lip syncs, and I never know exactly which one I want to think of. One of them, of course, being... I think we're alone now, but I think the funnier one being phone.
That's what I was thinking.
Phone is absolutely my go-to.
Phone. And like this, Megami in this reminded me a lot of Ginger in Phone.
Yes. Yeah.
Where it's a lot of face, it's a lot of moving, and she's doing, but like Phone is a song you kind of have to talk.
Yeah.
Megami is turning We Got the Beat into a comedy song.
Yes.
That she is bad dancing to in a way that improves every part of the number.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But if I say, like, La Ganja.
Physical.
Physical.
Exactly. If I say, Ben de la Creme.
Anaconda.
Really? I think I Kissed a Girl.
No, I think Anaconda first.
I don't know why. I think I Kissed a Girl just because she throws the tic-tacs.
Shangela throws the tic-tacs at her.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
No.
Oh. Oopsie.
So, but no, then we have, and then, so... Plane is like, I think we're going to see the Maya versus Morphine rematch. And people are like, I don't think so.
No. Nope.
And RuPaul, for the first time, doesn't cut the screen. We see Maya get eliminated. And she says, now everyone come to the main stage for the finale.
And we see what a steamed tomato looks like.
Yeah, Maya's pressed.
Maya.
There was no universe where Maya did not make, you know, in Avengers Infinity War, when Doctor Strange is like, gives Thanos the Infinity Stone, he's like, this was the only way. This was the only way that Maya didn't make it to the end.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, there is a high, if Morphine had picked a different song, had Megami picked Morphine, like anything else would have eventually led us to the Morphine v. Maya lip sync off to Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now, CNC Music Factory.
Weird song.
Except for Megami pulling out that she's actually one of the most gifted lip syncers to do Drag Race in a long time.
And she's so fucking funny. And
yeah.
So
unfortunately, smart. She is going up against one of
the best lip syncers, bar none.
Yeah. Like, so.
Also, so, someone who has had a wonderful run on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. I was never going to be upset that we didn't get, that if, whether Megami won or lost at the end, because in general, I just think that, like, Megami just needed to make it to this point. And that proves it. Morphine deserved to win the 50K.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And Megami did tweet that people have been Venmoing her cash tips.
Oh,
at
what?
Megami NYC.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she paid off her Drag Race loans.
What?
Oh my God. That is so fucking
That's
good.
That's wonderful.
That is, I will say, as soon as she pulled out the hand puppet.
So here's what I wonder. Was that always on her hand, or was she hiding that in case she made it to the last lip sync?
I think she was hiding it in case she made it to the last lip sync, because you did not see it, and you see her pull it out from somewhere, and then you see her throw it away.
Yeah, it was so.
I was willing to write her a check as soon as I saw that thing.
Yeah. So the lip sync starts, and as I said, it is Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now. And Morphine is like, I'm at 30% health. She's out of Estus flasks. This is her last run. Like, her mom is saying she has to go to bed after this one. And she wants to beat Ornstein and Smag. These are jokes for no one here because I'm a fucking nerd. And while she's pulling out all of her best weapons, Megami pulls out a hand puppet.
Okay, so here's the thing. The hand puppet was genius, and it cuts to Maya shading her, and it's clear that Maya is just like...
Well, it immediately cuts to Plasma going, she was so stupid for that.
But it also then cuts to Maya going, like, oh, she doesn't know the words. That's why she's using a puppet. And I think she did know the words, but I think what she should have done is she should have been lip-syncing, and the puppet should have been coming in front of her.
Well, no, what happens is that she's lip-syncing the girl part.
Yeah.
And the puppet is doing the boy part.
Which is so fun.
Which I don't get, because if I know one thing about Megami, it's I think she really likes boy parts.
Da-dun.
But yeah, it's so... It's so funny. It's so dumb. Again, it's good club drag.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were in a bar and someone put eyes on their hands and casually started lip syncing with it, you would die.
Yeah, I did. I didn't go to the bar with you two. I didn't want to see Plain Jane, I'll just be honest. But I was at home watching this, and she pulls out that stupid hand puppet. I fall off my couch.
It was great.
It was one of those things where I think the reason, like, I also, so, like, Morphine does an incredible job. She's an incredible performer. I think the other thing that happens is that there's a moment where Morphine grabs the sides of her wig and just turns it into pigtails to spin it.
Yes. Oh, she took flight. It was amazing.
It's incredible. Like, she's so good, and she's still pulling out new things this late in the game. And, like, the issue is that Megami unfortunately does peek at the hand thing for this one. Like, she's still funny. She's still dancing. She's still a great mover.
Mm-hmm.
She's just unfortunately...
She has good mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic lip syncer, and it's a tight lip sync. She's just unfortunately up against Morphine, who is also a really tight lip syncer.
So in the end, Black Canary cannot slay Christina Aguilera circa her second Spanish language album.
I think we all knew that a little bit.
It was...
That was actually what Birds of Prey 2 was going
to
be about.
Oh, good to know. I will be honest, watching this lip sync, I did not know who was going to win.
Me neither.
It was a rare time where I didn't care.
I mean, I feel like I was watching it
no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those things. This was an episode that felt very low stakes to me, and by the end had such great stakes.
So, yeah.
But I was so, it was one of those moments where it's like, it had so much stakes, and I wanted both of them to win.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care who won.
So what you're saying is that you thought you were going to, like, Morton's, but really you were going to Peter Luger's.
I don't know what that is.
I was going to Smith & Walensky, but that's mostly because it's the one from Devil Wears Prada.
What?
They're steakhouses.
Oh.
I was making a steak joke.
Oh, you should have gone with, like, Outback and Ruth Chris's or something.
Well, I was going for higher end steaks because these are higher end queens.
I don't know food.
You should have. If there was only a famous Miami steakhouse, it could have been fun because it could have been Peter Luger's and something in Miami. But
yeah, I'm trying to think.
No one's ever eaten food in Miami. I think that's where Salt Bae's steakhouse is.
Oh. It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen how people dress in Miami? It's like a Dayglo, Speedo, and nothing else.
I just know they canceled spring break.
Spring break.
But so Morphine wins, and her speech is exactly what you want it to be. You get a BBL. You get a BBL. You get a BBL. It's so funny.
I also love that she says in her confessional, she's like, this money is going to go to pay off more stuff on my body, and then the rest will go to my friends and family.
She's like, I'm going to use this money not to invest in my drag, but to invest in my body.
She needs to get herself that All-Stars look.
Yeah.
She already has it.
She's going to have... Yeah. Name a queen on an All-Star season who paints better than Morphine.
Pope?
I can't. That's the thing. Like, she already has the lips. She has the filler. She has the cheeks. She has
the ass.
The butt. She has the butt.
Imagine how many BBL she's going to have by her All-Stars.
She is going to have the world's fattest ass.
She needs to be careful. Those BBLs are dangerous.
Well, speaking of dangerous, we have a very exciting and dangerous episode next week.
It's the finale.
And I have no idea who's going to win. So I'm personally Team Nymphia. I absolutely adore her. I think that she has a point of view that we haven't seen on Drag Race in a really long time. And so I just am really excited to see what she can do on the stage. And so that's why I'm hashtag Team Nymphia. Remember, you can't use my person. Anyway, David, you're up. And give a little speech as to why you think they should win.
I'm hashtag Saphira because I can't be
hashtag Team Saphira.
I'm hashtag Team Saphira because I can't be hashtag Team Nymphia. But no, I think that Saphira definitely deserves to win. She's been such a good presence in the season. She's been mother, she's been father, and she's also just been turning out looks. And also, anytime that she's needed to show talent, she has.
Yeah.
And whether it was talent as an opera singer, whether it was talent as a seamstress, whether it was talent as just being a fucking good drag queen, she does deserve to win this. I also am Team Nymphia.
I just think Saphira could win any
All-Stars
season, and I think that Nymphia would struggle on All-Stars.
I don't even think that she would struggle on All-Stars. It just feels like it's Nymphia's time. It does. If that makes any sense. No, anyways, it does. You can't say Nymphia and you can't say Saphira. So who are you team?
And make sure you have a little speech as to why you think it has to be one of the competitors in this current season who's up to top three. Who's in the top three.
So you want me to actually defend why playing Jane could win?
Yeah. Yes.
So here's the thing about playing Jane. Apart from the fact that she's a moderately handsome man and Joe has literally glued ping pong balls to their hand and is doing a hand puppet to me. I hate you both so very much. So here's the thing about Plain. Apart from just being a handsome man and kind of a funny drag queen, Plain does offer something, and that is bite. I don't think we've ever had a villain flat out win the season. So that could be interesting. It's not what I want, but it's what we get. You're both making fun of me. I'm done. Everyone, have a great night.
Well, here's actually the real question. And this is the thing that I think is actually the most interesting. Who's Miss Congeniality?
I was just thinking that.
Well, actually, no. I know that we did a bit, but I do want to know who you're actually rooting for.
Oh, I actually get to share an opinion.
Yes, please.
Okay, cool.
Been playing Jane this whole time.
Actually, no. You don't get to share an opinion. You get to share a po-pinion.
Po-pinions. So, I actually am Team Nymphia for several reasons. One, I do feel like it's her time. Two, I feel like she's, even though Saphira has performed beautifully, flawlessly even, Nymphia's had a more interesting story to me. And Drag Race is about story. Nymphia has the more interesting story right now. Also, I feel like Nymphia offers something that we have never had a winner have before. She offers a viewpoint that is so uniquely hers, and I feel like she could take that title and do something really special with it. I will be very happy if it's Saphira, but I do feel like it's Nymphia.
I say the warmth that you said with all that almost brought a tear to my eye. I'm not even kidding.
I wish you'd stop when just talking about how beautiful her story was, because I'd be like, yes, and that's why the new king of Westeros is Bran the Broken.
I'm going to hit you with a pillow.
I don't even know what that means.
Who has a better story than Bran the Broken?
Literally any other character, you fucking alcoholic. You fucking piece of shit. How fucking dare you end the show with this? Okay, I'm still mad about this. Fuck.
Just watch the three body problem.
Anyways, barring a major announcement, next week is the finale. And then after that, we will be taking a hiatus until...
A hiatus.
We might do a one-off should the spirit move us to. Otherwise, we'll wait until we find out when the next season of All Stars is. Or
it's Drag Race. We won't have to wait too long for a new season.
Fair.
We won't be gone long.
But who do we want to... Before we do the proper outros...
Who's Miss Congeniality?
Who's Miss Congeniality? Ooh. Just name a name.
Ooh. And it can't be the top three, which makes it very hard.
It can't be the top three. Yeah. So it's not Saphira.
Are they going to say Plain Jane?
People keep being like, Nina Flowers once. Like, yeah, Nina Flowers.
That was season one.
But, like, Nina Flowers won Miss Congeniality after the season was over.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, BB had already been crowned, and then she won it. They just used to do reunion later. But it hasn't happened since. I think that Miss Congeniality is Mistress Isabel Brooks. I think it might be Mirage. Like, genuinely looking at this whole season and looking at who tends to get the Miss Congeniality title, I think it's Mirage, or I think it's going to be Morphine.
I could see it being... It's funny because I'm, like, thinking about stuff, and a part of me is wondering if it could be... I feel like Megami has a shot at it because Megami was very helpful to people and mm-hmm. very good.
And especially after not winning, she'd already had hers.
Yeah, and I also think that it could be Plasma because Plasma was around long enough and people seem to genuinely like her. I'm trying to think of like queens that people were just kind of like, I feel like I'm totally spacing, but I feel like there was someone who was like, oh, I don't want her to go home yet because I genuinely like her.
Mirage.
I'm actually going to say Tsunami.
Tsunami.
I would love to see Megami because Megami really was helpful and beloved.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dawn started the season saying she's the Eeyore of drag and changed her mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was, they were friends. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, they're friends. Like, it's the same thing as like Plasma being like, I've never seen Megami be like that, but being like, I fucking told you all she was great.
Yeah.
Like, I felt I was rooting for her the whole time. It's like, yeah, like, Plasma, like, the New York girls all love each other. But also, everyone on this season loves each other, so I think anyone could be Miss Congeniality. Wait,
you're wrong. Everyone loves each other and Plain Jane.
Anyways. It's one of those things where, you know, not every queen will be Miss Congeniality, but every queen could. But a Miss Congeniality could come from anywhere, except Plain Jane. Except Boston. No. But... make sure to, so if you want to see if we're right about our predictions, make sure to tune in next week, but you can follow the show at This Toxic Fandom. I'm at Joe Lee Green Giant. Stephen Pope is at Pro Hobbit Pope, and David Gorin is at David J. Gorin.
And if you like us, tell a friend. If you really like us, tell your friend with benefits. And if you think we're just okay, lip sync for your life and tell someone.
And make sure not to fuck it up by leaving us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And until next time.
Stay toxic.
But wait, who do we think is going to win the Golden Boot Award?
Oh.
Wait.
Maya.
No.
It's got to be Maya.
No, because what's Maya's worst outfit?
Oh, God.
No, it's going to be Plasma. It's going to be Plasma for Koth.
Oh.
No, it's going to be Plasma for Tweedledee.
No, we love Tweedledee.
No, it's going to be Goth.
It's going to be Plasma for Koth.
Oh, or maybe it'll be Hershey for the pants.
Ooh, it could be Hershey.
I don't think it'll be Hershey for the pants.
Oh, that is good.